for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, July the 3rd, 2009. Carol McCarroll is the speaker of this service, teaching on Rahab the Harlot.
Amen. Come on back up here, darling. Amen. I kind of like to have her by my side. She makes me look good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Ron. Same to you. Hallelujah. We want to teach you a song. Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is our theme song. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We love to sing the Word of God. You know, whenever you sing the Word of God, you're singing an anointed song. You're singing the truth. And whenever you put the Word to music, it's so much easier to memorize the Word of God. Amen? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Read it with me now. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Now, when you read the Word of God, read it with vigor and enthusiasm, and stand up, please. Hallelujah. Give honor to the Lord. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Well, y'all forget. I knew I'd get a smile out of you, son. All right, well, let's read it. Are you ready? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success."
Amen.
All right, here we go. You can be seated. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have never heard that song before in all your life? Never heard it before in all your life. Now, Brother Glenn, this just confirms what I was thinking. We just got through singing it through. And yet all these people held up their hand and said they had never heard it before in all their life. Now bless your heart. I wish you'd get your body, soul, and spirit all together. Amen. And we're going to sing this one more time. And then I'm going to ask you the same question again. Are you ready? Here we go. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." How many of you have ever heard that song before in all your life? How many of you heard it? Everybody? Look at your neighbor and see if they heard it. Now everybody knows the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So Jesus called His disciples. How many of you are disciples of the Lord? And then He sent them forth. Amen. To teach, to preach, to baptize. And to cast out devils, Tom. Hallelujah. Did I cover it all? All right. Praise the name of Jesus. So what I want you to do right now, I want you to pick out a person who looks like that they need to be prospered and they need to have some good success. And we're going to sing this song to that person. All right? Pick out a person right now. All over the congregation, find somebody, hallelujah, doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that came with you, hello, but pick out somebody that needs prosperity and success, amen. You can just look at them and tell, amen, amen, amen. What's wrong with you? Get up, this whole row, get up, what's wrong with you? Stand up, pick out somebody, amen. Get somebody by the hand, look right in their face, look in their eyes. Amen. Get that preacher look on your face. Hallelujah. Get your finger up here like this. Come on, Charlie. Get ready to preach that, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Now, I want you to get red in the face, and I want both of the arteries on both sides to swell up now when you preach this. I mean, when you sing this. All right. Get ready. Here we go. Are you ready? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. Oh, she got you in. Top of his head to the soles of his feet. Glory be to God. Prosper us, and then thou shalt have good success. All right, now I want you to preach it back to them now. Preach it back to them now. You can't learn a song just by singing it a couple of times. Now let's do it now. And by the way, did you preach the best you could preach? Is there anybody here think they could do a little bit better? Well, if that's the best you could do, I tell you, that's pretty pitiful. Now let's get with it this time, all right? Come on now, here we go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That's it. You get it now, brother. That you may. I give it to her. Hallelujah. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Put your hands together and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. Come on now. Let the house be filled with praise to God. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 48:1. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 31. Tonight, God willing, I want to mark you for a miracle. Hebrews 11, verse 31. When you found it, say, I found it. Thank you very much. Well, Charlie, I'm glad I got you down here. Amen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Kansas City won't be able to stand us when we get back, will they? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, are you ready? Let's read it together. Hebrews 11, verse 31. That's right, son, you're doing good. Giving honor to the Lord. Look around you, folks. You see what people are doing? Giving honor to God and to His Word. Praise be to God. Somebody said, when I come to one of your services, Pastor, I feel like I'm back in the Catholic Church again. Down and up, down and up. Amen. Well, if that's okay. We need to give honor to the Lord. Let's say our scripture together. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Read it again, please. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll cause your word to come alive within us tonight. Sweet Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to us between the lines. What comes from the pulpit, I pray that you will preach to the hearts of men and women and boys and girls here tonight. And may we walk out of this place this evening and remember every day of our life from this point forward that we've been marked for a miracle. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. One of the most improbable stories in all of human literature is found as the life of Rahab is recorded. Rahab was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Rahab was a Canaanite. She was a citizen of one of the most wicked cities in all the world in her day. In fact, the city was so wicked that God said it had to all be destroyed, and every person in it should be killed. Men, women, boys, and girls. Houses burned, possessions burned. The only thing that was to be spared from the city was the silver, the gold, the brass, and the iron. And that was to be put into the treasury of Israel. God was looking ahead to the day they would build the temple. But this woman, because of her faith and the actions of her faith, changed the decree of God, changed the command of Joshua, and changed the history of the world. I want you to understand tonight, it doesn't make any difference what your background is. It makes no difference what the color of your skin is. It makes no difference how you were born. It makes no difference what your position in life is, whether it's high or whether it's low. When you have faith in God, and by the way, faith in God is having faith in His Word. And you put that faith to action because James says, without works, your faith is dead. A reference is made to Rahab in the book of James. And it says it was by her works, what she did in hiding the spies, that her life was spared. Rahab was marked for a miracle. And tonight we're going to look at that wonderful story. And it's a true story. Rahab the harlot, who became the woman of God. It all begins in the second chapter of the book of Joshua. In the first chapter, the Lord of hosts appeared to Joshua and gave him instructions concerning the city of Jericho, the captain of the host of heaven. Joshua had to ask this mighty God, whose side was he on? Are you for us or are you against us? And the Lord said, I am for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful to know that the Lord is for us? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, the Lord is for me. Hallelujah. Look at him. Hallelujah. Tell him that. And you look back and say, yes, and he's for me too. Glory be to God. When God is for you, who can be against you? Praise be to God. Joshua, being a wise man, sent spies into the city of Jericho. It picks up in the first verse of the second chapter. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go and view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now these were holy, God-fearing, God-loving, innocent men of Israel. And they had a mission, and that mission was to go in and to spy out the land, and specifically spy out the city of Jericho. And where did they end up going? To a harlot's house. Well, I want you to know something. Sometimes the ministry that God will send you to do will be done in strange places. Strange places. But they went under the leadership of Almighty God, as you'll see. Reading on now in verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not, or I knew not whence they were, or who they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for they shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men returned, and the woman and the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which were pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Rahab sent a false message to the king to protect the spies. Some people have criticized Rahab for what she did, but she did it as an act of faith. And you'll see in just a few moments how that Rahab's testimony changed the life of Rahab, all of her household, and all the nation of Israel. Two spies went in to spy out the city of Jericho. The king heard about it. He sent to Rahab and said, Bring those men here. But Rahab did just the opposite. She hid the spies of Israel. She protected them. You know, it's very important to take care of the men of God. We're on a campground here that is a very unusual place. There's not many places like this in all this nation. But I want you to know what goes on here is a very, very, very important part of the kingdom of God. Many ministers in their own churches would never preach what you hear preached here, would not practice deliverance. Oh, they may know about it, but very few of them will really practice it, because there is a criticism that comes along with deliverance. When you puke in waste baskets, or as Derek Prince used to do in brown paper sacks, and you command demons to come out, and the demons begin to speak out and identify themselves, and they're called out by men of God, I want you to know that that is a very, very unusual church that will practice those type of things. But here is a campgrounds that will practice it, and people are coming here from all over the world. Last night we prayed concerning prayer requests. And it amazed me that some of the places that those prayer requests came from, in dark corners of the earth, they called or they sent in their prayer requests and asked for the people here to pray for them. Why did they do that? Because they understood that here is a place where God moves by His power and people are set free. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here tonight can say without a doubt, Pastor McCarroll, I've been here and I have been set free of problems that I've had in my life and could not get any help anywhere else, but I got it here. Stand on your feet. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. Now we need to do like Rahab did. Rahab not only hid the spies and preserved their lives, but she took care of them. And we need to take care of the people of God that open up the Word of God to us and set us free from those powers of wickedness that have held us in their grasp and we could not get out. The Bible says, Beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Called of God. Called of God. Paid the price. There's ministers in this congregation tonight that have lost everything over the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost it all, as far as the world is concerned, but gained it all as far as the Word of God is concerned. There's people here tonight who are ministering God's Word, who are living by faith. Everything they do is by faith. They're believing the Lord, and the Lord has preserved them and kept them alive. Not only preserved them and kept them alive, but have prospered them, even according to the Word of God that we sang here tonight in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want you to know something. Rahab would have done anything for those spies. You'll find that out in just a few moments. I wonder what you would do for the men of God if you had the opportunity to do it for them. The young man who led me to the Lord Jesus Christ in a filling station at the end of North Anderson Street Bridge in Anderson, Indiana, whenever I was a young soldier home on furlough from the United States Army. I was in a filling station. I went in there to buy a package of cigarettes. But 4 hours later, I came out, threw the cigarettes that I'd bought away, and I walked out of that filling station a brand new person. I was born again in that filling station. I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I intended at that moment forever to make Him the Lord of my life. What would I do for that man? There isn't anything too good. I was almost 20 years old. I was raised in the church, but I never was saved. No one ever talked to me personally about Jesus. Oh, if they would have talked to me personally about Jesus, I would probably have opened up my heart to the Lord Jesus. I almost did that once when I was 11 years old. But some way, somehow, I got in my mind that you had to be good enough. You had to be good enough in order to go to heaven. And church, I couldn't be good enough. My middle name is Cheney, my given name, but it should have been Trouble, because I was in trouble every time that I turned around. Oh, Brother Ron, I was good once for about 5 minutes, and then I got in trouble again. I explained that night. It seemed like that I was climbing up the ladder of life, trying to be better, trying to be good, and almost ready to take the hand of Jesus, and then I'd get in trouble again. And I said that night, the round under my feet on that ladder of life broke, and I'd fall all the way to the bottom. I finally, after many, many tries, said, I just can't live the Christian life. But that night, I came to understand something that I never understood before. And what I came to understand was this. As a young man looked at me, and I told him what I've just told you, he said, Carol, you can't live the Christian life until you have the Christ in you. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
That was a revelation to me. Perhaps it's a revelation to you. You can't live the Christian life until you have the Christ in you. And I said, how in the world can I get the Christ in me? He smiled and he said, I'm glad you finally asked. You know, those men didn't expect to be saved when they went to the house of a harlot. I didn't expect to get saved when I went into a filling station. But I want you to know something. The Lord has His people everywhere. And what can we do for His people who are wherever we need to be and are preaching the Word of God and giving the message of the Word of God? Or like this soul winner who led a young soldier to the Lord Jesus Christ upon his knees. That night I wept my way to the foot of the cross. And there I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say tonight, praise and honor and glory to God for His mercy and His grace toward me, a wicked sinner. But He loved me. And guess what? He loves you. And just like He had this harlot prepared. Did I say prepared? Yes, I said prepared. To take care of two spies in a foreign land, in a foreign city, one of the most wicked cities of the world in that day. And God took a woman of the street to preserve the life of two spies. Now let's look at Rahab's testimony as she spoke to these spies. Listen to this. Verse 8 and following. And it says, before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. In other words, before the spies went to sleep, she went up to talk to them. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Did you hear that? I know the Lord has given you the land. That's quite a statement. I know. Here is a heathen woman, a Canaanite woman, a harlot, a streetwalker, who sold her body to the highest payer, says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Now listen closely. And that your terror is fallen upon us. And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard. Say that with me. For we have heard. Say it again. For we have heard. What does that sound like? Romans 10:17. Who knows Romans 10:17 right now by heart? Stand up and give it out. Romans 10. Come on, Ron. Get up there. Romans 10:17.
But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
How many of you knew that scripture? All right, let's all say it. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Does this sound like that Rahab must have heard something that caused faith to rise up in her? Absolutely. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you. Oh my goodness. When you came out of Egypt, and what she did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Now these were not just kings of the Amorites. The Amorites were a race of giants, and they were some of the most wicked, 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 blasphemous people that ever walked upon the face of the earth. But yet, the Lord, notice, that's what she said, the Lord delivered the Amorites, including their two kings, Sihon and Og, into your hands, and you utterly destroyed them. And as soon as we heard these things, listen again, she said, and as soon as we heard these things, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, dear friends, if this woman wasn't a convert, I don't know what she was. I mean, here was a woman who was a Canaanite woman. She stood against Jehovah God with all of her people. She had a wicked, horrible profession. But yet, listen to her testimony. We know that your God is the only God in heaven and in earth, the one who created it all. Somebody stand up and give God the glory for the testimony of Rahab. Come on, church. Get on your feet and give God the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Oh, bless the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you got that kind of testimony? That's the kind of testimony that will get you in heaven. Amen. And not just get you in heaven, but will change the course of history.
Yes, sir.
Wow. You know, the first night I shared with you unsolvable problems. Problems that people face, even born-again people, and seemingly there's no answer. But I want you to know the key word there is seemingly. Because faith. Faith in God. Faith in God's Word. And as we act upon the Word of God, will change every problem, every circumstance, and set you free from the tormentors. Amen. Praise be to God. Then last night, we talked about the legal ground. God is a just God, and God has laid down His Word, and He says, today choose life or death, blessing or cursing. If you choose life, it's good. If you choose death, it's evil and wicked. It's up to us to choose. Every man, woman, and child here today can choose and should choose. Our children were all saved early in life. Cindy was the most wicked of them all. She didn't get saved until she was 7 years old. And we showed a film in our church called The Burning Hell. When that film was over, just a little simple film put on by a Baptist church down in Georgia. They paid for it, they produced it, and they did it. Hallelujah. And Cindy turned to her mama and said, "Mama, I don't want to go to hell." And the next thing, Cindy ran to the altar and gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. This weekend, as I told you earlier, she and her husband Leroy are going to be taking the services in their church in Zion, Illinois. Fine, full gospel church, as their pastor is going to be gone on a preaching mission. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Now Leroy can sing and Cindy can sing, but Cindy will preach. Hallelujah. They're going to have a great service. And guess what? It all started when she was 7 years old at an old-fashioned altar in the house of God. That's what it's all about, church. Legal grounds. And tonight we're talking about a woman who changed the course of history. Now I want you to know that if a woman like Rahab could change the course of history for herself, for her nation, and for everyone else who will hear her testimony and believe it and act on it as she acted upon it, you too can change the course of history. I want you to point at your neighbor and say, God's chosen you to do something great. Come on, say it with vigor and enthusiasm. Bless God. Hallelujah. I want you to know when I served the devil, I served him well. I wasn't ashamed. Well, a couple of times I was. I remember driving down the highway in New York State and there was a great big Marlboro sign up there with a big tough cowboy Nathan on it, and he had his hand on his hip and he was leaning up against a big old horse, and he had his big 10-gallon hat on and a Marlboro hanging out of his mouth, and it had some kind of a slogan, and I thought, man, he looks cool. And then I thought, they'd never get my picture up there. My mother might see that. Ron, when you laugh, you identify. Amen? Yes, sirree. I remember Mama praying for me. Tom, one night I came in and Mom and Dad had everything all fixed up. I had to come in through their bedroom. And the door wasn't unlocked either. And you didn't slip into Mom and Daddy's house. And I was about 30 minutes late of curfew. And I was kind of standing there like this. I thought I was standing straight and tall. Whenever Mama looked at me, she said, "You better get in here, and you better get in here fast before your daddy wakes up." Well, I staggered on in, and I got into my bedroom on the far end of the house, and I began to hear Mama. And what I heard scared the liver out of me. She said, "Lord, Carol Chaney ain't never going to straighten up. Said he ain't never going to get in the church. Just kill him." Before he drags our name in the dirt. Thank God for a mama like that. Woo! You know, if more mamas start praying like that, we'd have better boys. Amen?
Amen.
He said, "Did I straighten you up right then?" No, it didn't straighten me up right then, but I never forgot it. You remember the Marlboro sign, don't you? All right. Rahab had a testimony. She believed what she heard concerning the God of Israel. And her testimony again was this: "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." I love that. The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I ask you a question tonight. Is there any of you that people can say about you, because of your life, because of the way you live, because of your lifestyle, because of your witness, "I know that your God is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath"? Can you do that? Will you do that? Will you leave this place and let this be your testimony forever? Will you accomplish that in your life? I remember whenever I was coming back from my appointed place of duty, coming back to the States for discharge, and I'd been a witness or tried to be a witness in my company. I was in the United States Army Infantry, and some of the fellows we had been able to win to the Lord, but one of my best friends before I got saved, his name was Grant Ferris. I never got him to go to church. I never got him to pray with me. In fact, he wasn't my friend or my buddy from that point after I gave my heart to Jesus. But the day that I rotated back to the States for discharge, Ferris walked up to me, Grant Ferris, and he said, "Mac," he said, "I want to say one thing to you." He said, "You got the real thing." He said, "You got the real thing." He said, "I never went to church with you. I never prayed with you. But you got the real thing." Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do people know that you got the real thing? Is it a love that oozes out of you? Amen? You know, Jesus said, whenever they curse you, do something good to them. Pray for them. When they despitefully use you, bless them. Come on now. His way is so much opposite to the way of the world, but His way is a way that's going to win. And His way is a way that will win the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And I guarantee you tonight, precious, precious church, that the same testimony that came from the lips of Rahab will come from the lips of those who know you. Praise be to God. Now, Rahab worked a deal with these spies. Verse 12. She said, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, give me a sign, that you will show kindness to my father's house, and that you will save alive," listen to this, "not just herself, but my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." This woman shows that she was truly a convert to Jehovah God, because she now is not concerned about herself any longer, but she's concerned about her whole family. I'm sure that everything wasn't hunky-dory and rosy in that family. I'm sure that mom and daddy probably weren't glad that their daughter was carrying on the profession that she was carrying on. And I'm sure that they'd said to her younger sisters, "We don't want you to follow in the footsteps of Rahab." But who was Rahab now pleading for? Pleading for her family. Pleading for those that loved her the most. Pleading for those who found fault with her. Pleading for those that they would be saved. The day I was ordained to the gospel, January the 21st, 1961. My parents drove all the way from Indiana to halfway Missouri. Now you figure that out. Every time I posted a letter, and I knew the post office was going to put halfway Missouri on it, I'd laugh. I said, "The people, whoever's getting this letter, is going to say, well, what's McCarroll into now? Halfway Missouri." And one of the mothers in our congregation that I was pastoring, I was the youngest boy in the church, and I was their pastor. Mother Stella Barnes opened up her home to me, and I was going to a little Bible college. And when my parents came, there wasn't any motel in the town, and they were coming to be a witness to my ordination in the ministry. And I was so concerned about my dad. My brother Tom had been born again. I told you about that last night. And I was so concerned about my dad. Dad taught me a lot of good things, but he also taught me a lot of bad things, by his example and also by his words. And I remember that night as we stayed in the home of Mother Stella Barnes. Dad and I had to sleep in the same bed. I didn't sleep much that night. And it wasn't because he was snoring so loud as he always did. It was because I was concerned about my dad's soul. I spent the night on my face at the foot of the bed. I tried not to make any noise. I tried to be as quiet as I could. Later that next day, after Daddy had given his heart to Jesus, at the foot of the altar in that little old Baptist church, halfway Missouri, Daddy looked up at me and he said, "I heard you praying all night last night. I heard you crying, son. I heard you calling my name. Would you fast and pray? Would you seek God for your family? Some of you have children that are estranged from you. Fast and pray and seek the Lord. Make a covenant with God. Don't break that covenant. I guarantee you that God will move on your behalf and answer your prayers no matter how long they've been estranged. Some of you have problems with your marriage. Would you fast and pray? Would you seek God?" I asked that same question in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, a few years ago as I was preaching a revival meeting there. I challenged all the women whose husbands were not in the church that night, and there was a lot of them that weren't there. I said, "Would you fast and pray for your husband to get saved?" And every woman in that church came forward. And they knelt at the altar and they made a covenant with Almighty God that they would fast and pray until their husband got saved. We started that revival meeting out with 50 people. That included the boys and girls. I had 14 in the children's choir. 50 people in all. So you can see how many adults there were. But when that meeting was over, 3 weeks later, there were 212 people who had been born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and giving honor and praise to Almighty God, because these women fasted and prayed and sought the face of Almighty God. However, the next night after I gave them that challenge, there was one woman who came in and her eyes were red and her nose was red, and I knew that she was had been crying. And when the time came for me to get up to preach, I couldn't preach until I spoke to her. And I said, "Sister, what in the world is wrong with you, honey?" And she just broke down. I left the pulpit and went out and knelt beside her and put my arm around her shoulders. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she sobbed out her story. And her story went like this. She said, "I made a covenant with God last night to fast and pray until my husband got saved." She said, "All day long I fasted and prayed." He said he came home and I had his supper on the table. So the family sat down to eat and he looked at me and he said, "Aren't you eating tonight?" And she said, "No." He said, "How come you're not eating?" He said, "You're one of the biggest eaters in the family. Why are you not eating?" And she said, "I told him that I made a covenant with God." He said, "You did what?" And he pulled it out of her. And then he looked at her and he set his jaw and he hit the table and he said, "Woman, you can fast until hell freezes over, but I'm never going to go to that church and I'm never going to get saved by your God." I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I had baked a gooseberry pie." And most of you know that gooseberry didn't taste too good unless it's got a lot of sugar in it. But she said, "That gooseberry pie was my husband's favorite." And she said, "It was in the refrigerator." And she said, "I got so mad, I got up and went to the refrigerator and ate me a piece of his gooseberry pie." And then I looked at him and said, "So what?" And I said, "And what are you crying about?" And she said, "I'm crying because I didn't keep my covenant with God and I lost my temper." I said, "Are you sorry?" She said, "Yes." I said, "What do you think you should do?" He said, "I should repent and apologize to God." I said, "Well," and not only she, but at least a half a dozen other women came to the altar and did the same thing. And one by one, and sometimes a half a dozen men, every night in the next 2 weeks of that revival meeting, came forward to give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This is the kind of thing that will change a city. This is the kind of thing that will change your family. It's the kind of thing that will change your nation. It's the kind of thing that will change the history of America. Seeking God. Rahab said, "Save my daddy, my mama, my brothers, my sisters, and give me a token that you'll do it." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If you utter not this, our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window. for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I said, isn't that beautiful? I said, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? She saved them a life, your life for my life. Verse 16, and she said unto them, get ye into the mountains, and the pursuers, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. A scarlet card marked Rahab. And not just Rahab, but her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and all their possessions. For a miracle. Isn't it strange? Is it a coincidence that it was a scarlet card? Wasn't it the blood of the Passover lamb that saved the lives of the people of Israel as was applied to their doors? Isn't it the blood of the Lamb of God, when it is applied to our hearts by faith as we receive Him as our Savior and washes away our sin? She put that scarlet card in her window, and whenever the Lord gave to Israel a miraculous victory over Jericho, and you know the story, how the walls of Jericho came down by the utmost power of the Almighty God, and Israel swarmed into that city and took it. Rahab was left alive. Have you been marked? Are you marked by the blood? We sing that old song, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? Well, say it like you mean it. Look at your neighbor. Make sure they're not asleep already. My goodness. Hallelujah. You know, in our church, whenever they start getting asleep, they go stand by the wall. I used to read the Bible, and when I would read the Bible, I would go to sleep every time. Anybody else have that problem? Oh, I'd get so sleepy. I knew it wasn't God that was causing me to go to sleep. And I really wanted to read the Word. So if it wasn't God and it wasn't me, who was it? I figured it was the devil. We had an old porcelain bathtub, the kind with the rolled sides, you know, the rolled edges. I went in there to that bathtub. I climbed up on the edge of that bathtub. I opened up my Bible and I started reading the Word of God. But before I did, I said, okay, devil, put me to sleep now. Cause me to get sleepy now. Because I'll fall off this bathtub and break my neck. And then what good will it do you if you kill me? You know, I didn't get sleepy at all. Sometimes we got to mean business. Sometimes we really got to put it to the test. Do you understand? I didn't get sleepy at all. Anybody got an answer for that? Would you go to sleep on the edge of a bathtub reading the Word of God? Or doing anything else for that matter. Amen? So get in there and get the job done. So make sure your neighbor's still awake. I said, if your neighbor's asleep, wake him up. Just smack him. Next thing I heard was crack. I never said that again. Somebody was just waiting for an opportunity. Like the woman who was whining about the way her husband was treating her. And the pastor said to her, said, well, honey, said, did you ever think about, putting coals of fire on his head? She said, no, I never did think of that. But she said, I did think about pouring hot coffee on him once. Rahab, marked for a miracle. We're not through with Rahab. Turn with me very quickly, please, over to the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. Oh, what a wonderful story we have in the 25th verse. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua saved her alive. Her father, her mother, and all that they had. Because she did what? She saved the spies that he sent to spy out Jericho. But that's still not the end of the story. Open your Bibles, please, to the first chapter of the book of Matthew. And in this chapter, we have the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a miracle it is that we find in the genealogy, that's the ancestry of our Lord Jesus Christ, a very strange name. The name of a Gentile. The name of who's always identified in the Scripture as Rahab the harlot. She is in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, chapter 1, St. Matthew. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. There she is. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. And we go right on down until we get to the end of this genealogy. And we find that Joseph, being raised from wax, oh my goodness, grace and shapes in life. And Jacob begot, verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Rahab not only became an Israelite, but she married a prince of Israel. Salmon was one of the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel and was known as a prince. And so if you marry a prince, young ladies, you become a princess. Hallelujah. So Rahab the harlot now is marrying up and becomes a princess in all the land of Israel. And guess what? She becomes the great, great grandmother of David, the King of Israel. Can you believe that? Oh, what a story. From harlotry to heavenly. Hallelujah. In one little lady who acted on faith. Tonight, you're going to be marked for a miracle. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask the ministers who've come during this camp meeting, and Brother Glenn, and anybody else on your staff that you want to come up, and we're going to mark you tonight for a miracle. Brother Charlie, I want you to hold up your left arm, would you please, real high? Look on his left wrist. Charlie and Rosemarie were marked for a miracle at Heart of America Church about a year ago. And he still got it on there. Oh, there's one there. And Sister McCarroll, what have you got on yours?
I need another one.
You need another one, baby. All right, there you go. Hallelujah. I mark you for a miracle. Bless God, I want a miracle. Marked for a miracle. Rahab was marked for a miracle. That scarlet card in her window marked her for a miracle. From the day that she hung it out until the day that Jericho fell. And not only was she marked with a miracle by hanging it out the window, she was marked for a miracle the rest of her life. Every curse was broken. And now the blessing of Almighty God is resting upon her. She's in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ and married a prince of Israel. Some of you ladies are already married. Wouldn't it be great if your husband became a prince for the Lord? Oh, you can do better than that. Not you ladies, but him. He can become a king and a priest for the Lord. And guess what? You can do the same thing and have the authority that God has promised for every believer. A few years ago, we marked our congregation for a miracle on Sunday morning. One of the sisters in the church was leaving that afternoon for Mississippi, long drive from Kansas City. She had a relative that was near the point of death, and she felt like that God was sending her there on a mission of mercy. She and one of her brothers in Kansas City drove somewhere across the Tennessee line into northern Mississippi in the middle of the night now. She was in the back seat of the car and he was driving. They, by the way, were a black couple, brother and sister. She was jolted awake as something hit them in the rear of their vehicle. She raised up and looked out the back window, and there were three white men in a pickup truck, and they backed up and rammed them again. Big trouble. On a black road in Mississippi. Her brother put his foot on the brake and started pulling onto the edge of the shoulder of the highway. And she said, "Brother, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to stop this car and get out and teach these guys a thing or two. Ramming my car in the rear end." She said, "Brother, what's wrong with you?" He said, "There's three men in that truck and no telling what they've got in that truck." And then she remembered. Now this is the God honest truth. She looked down at her wrist and she said, "Pastor marked us for a miracle in the church this morning." And she held that wrist up with the red scarlet card around it, and she said, "Keep driving, brother. We're going to be all right. God has marked us for a miracle." And after she said that, she turned around to look out the back window again, and there wasn't a headlight anywhere. None at all. And they went on their trip. And by the way, even though their car was jolted twice in the rear end very violently, there wasn't a scratch on the car. Why? Because she had been marked for a miracle. There have been times as a pastor and as just as an individual that there have been things that I have faced. Challenges. Problems. I'm sure attacks by the enemy. Nothing can come our way unless God allows it to come. But I want you to know something. Things are going to happen. I remember when I was in seminary, we had a guest speaker one day. It was a black preacher of the St. Stephen's Baptist Church. He was about 90 years old. He didn't have a hair on his head, but he had a strong voice. He couldn't see. A deacon led him to the pulpit. This precious old man got up and began to preach to this congregation of seminary students, young preacher boys, preparing to go out and preach the Word of God. And he talked about a problem that he had faced. And when he finished telling about that problem, he said, "Y'all boys ever had any problem like that? Hold up your hand if you have." And nobody held up their hand. That old man leaned over and began to rub his bald head and laugh. And then he looked up and he said, "Y'all boys know what you got to do to have problems like that?" Nobody answered. He said, and he rubbed his head again and laughed some more. He said, "All you got to do, children of God, is to keep on breathing air, because you're going to have some problems." Well, this preacher had had some problems. In fact, I'm facing some problems right now. But I want you to know something. I'm marked for a miracle. And each time that I face problems in the past, I look down and I remind myself that I've been marked for a miracle. There's nothing magical about this. It's just a point of releasing our faith and trusting God and believing the Lord and turning loose of our problems and taking authority over the devil. And I remind myself, as a sister did in the back seat of that car in northern Mississippi, "Devil, I've been marked for a miracle." Stand on your feet with me tonight. I want the ministers to come and stand by my side. Sister McCarroll, would you come? And as we begin to pray, I want you to pass out to these precious ministers these scarlet cards. And ministers, I want you to wrap those scarlet cards around their wrist. If they're right-handed, put it around their left wrist. If they're left-handed, to put it around your right wrist. And you just hold your wrist out there, and they're going to mark you for a miracle tonight. And some of you are going to experience a miracle before you leave this building. And if you don't experience one before you leave this building, you'll experience one as you go down the highway, going back to your homes. And as you get back to your cities and your villages and your churches, you can begin to expect a miracle. You know what? I've got one of those scarlet cards in my billfold, and I've never run out of money. Would you like to have that? I even put one, Brother Glenn. I taped it on the church checkbook. Hallelujah. And you come into my home, you'll find one over the front door, over the back door, and over every window in our house marked for a miracle. I even put one around my dog's collar. And then I named the dog Faith. Hallelujah. Because it's a bird dog. Now you figure that out. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I want to thank you that we've had a lot of fun preaching your word tonight and hearing your word and believing your word. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this precious place. I thank you, Lord, for the vision in Glenn and Irma Miller as they came here and established this place so long ago. I thank you, Lord, that you've kept it alive and is still ministering to people around the world. And Father, we stand here as ministers of the gospel, as a testimony to that which we have received here in the past and will receive in the future. And Lord, tonight as we begin to mark this precious congregation for a miracle, I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the power of God will rest upon each individual as it rested upon Rahab as she heard the word and believed and acted upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and ask it. Amen and amen. How many want to be marked for a miracle tonight? Leave your seat and come right up here. Stand in front of a minister and everyone to mark you for a miracle in the name of Jesus. We need some music. Mother, are you going to do it? Or Sister Alice or somebody? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Yaha salamakaya rabohote. Just say, I mark you for a miracle. Amen. I mark you for a miracle. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I mark you for a miracle. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. That's it, brother. Go on over there. Amen. Hey, come here. Hallelujah. Which one? In the name of Jesus, I mark you, brother, for a miracle. And you're not going to have that problem. You look down and say, I'm marked for a miracle. Mark, let this man play. You go ahead and minister to these people. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, victory in Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Oh, victory. Yeah, 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 yeah.
We mark you for a miracle. Hallelujah. Yay, Lord, yay, Lord, yay, Lord, yay, Lord. We mark you.
Glory, and he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. He plunged me to victory.
All right, I want you to listen to me, please. Listen to me. There's people that are not here tonight that you know and love. People who would give anything if they could be here tonight and heard this message and be marked for a miracle. Would you like to take one of these cards to them?
Absolutely.
Won't you come right now? Come right now. We're going to give out cards until we run out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just tell them, I'm coming for so-and-so. Amen. I'm coming for so-and-so. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And those of you who are watching by television, if you'd like to have one of these scarlet cards, if you'd like to have it sent to you, just write to the address right there on your screen. Brother Glenn Miller will see to it that you get a scarlet card that's been prayed over and anointed and by faith sent to you. Amen. There's the address, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Amen. It'll be yours. God bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Now listen to me, church. Listen to me. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say everything's fine and dandy up to this point. But preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I need. I believe there's enough faith in this house to pray down heaven on your behalf. And if you're here tonight and you say, I need a miracle from God, right now, I invite you to leave your seat right now. Come right up here. And these ministers are going to pray for you, lay hands upon you, and believe for you for that miracle that you're believing God for. Come right now. Come right now. All over the congregation, come right now. This is a miracle service. You've been marked for a miracle. And tonight is your night. Right now is your time. Come now. Hallelujah. All right, pastors and ministers, get your hands upon these people and believe with them. Just get in front of someone tonight. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of God is here. Praise Him.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.